The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
the words of the Gospel. May our sins be wiped away.
I am the oldest of three children. My brother's about a year and a half, and my sister's about 6 years younger than I am. And you think, being the oldest, I might be the more responsible, more mature one in the group. But that's far from the case, folks. And you know, I could be a real itch, a real tease, and a real annoyance, especially to my brother. My brother, for example, would be minding his own business, calmly doing whatever he was doing. Maybe he was building a house of cards all by himself, you know, and humming along, just doing his thing. And what would I do? I'd stomp down the stairs, you know, I'd stomp on the floor, trying to make that house of cards fall down. And if that didn't work, I would go by close enough. Mom, did it! I was a real brat. Now, I might defend myself by saying, well, I was trying to purify my brother's love so that I might become more Christ-like. Right. Well, you could blame it on original sin, and that's probably true, too. But at my more sober moments, I was asking myself, you know, why can I be so mean? Why so destructive? You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn once wrote, he said, "The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart." Ouch. You mean it's not my brother's fault? It's my fault? It's my heart that needs to change? Jeremiah, he writes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and test the heart, to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So it's our hearts, folks, that needs to be converted, that need to be transformed. And only God can do that to make them more Christ-like. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "We suffer from a kind of poverty of spirit, which stands in glaring contrast to our scientific and technological abundance. We've learned to swim the seas like fish, to fly the air like birds, and yet we have not learned the simple art of walking the earth as brothers and sisters." How true that is. And I think a lot of the conflict, a lot of the problems going on in the world today, sisters and brothers, really are a lack of peace right here for so many of us. That we need to ask the Lord, Lord, change us. Help us to have that humility of heart that acknowledges and recognizes, I need to change. There's something I can do that I can change. That's what Zephaniah is saying. You know, in our first reading, he's reminding us that, you know, peace will only come when the people return to the Lord, when they allow themselves to be converted. He's dealing with a people who have grown haughty and arrogant, who have adopted this moral autonomy and are no longer following the law of God, but following their own whims, if you will. So he sees that only those will be saved who have turned their lives over to God with a sense of lowliness of heart and dependence on God. We make choices based on our desires a lot of times, and our desires are not going to lead us necessarily to our true good. You know, we want happy marriages, but we also want sexual freedom. We want to lose weight, but we want that donut. You know, so our desires sometimes are conflicting within ourselves. And the waters sometimes are muddy. We don't always make the best choices. And sometimes our circumstances push us in a direction we think is okay, but ends up in disaster. We're always swimming against the tide, folks. But God is always with us. You know, He never stops loving us. He gives us His help. He gives us the commandments, tells us what we shouldn't do, gives us His word. And then He sends His Son, Jesus. You know, Jesus, who wants to point us in the right direction towards our true home and towards that eternal happiness that we all desire, we all have within ourselves. And He tells us how we should live our lives. He gives us the Beatitudes. And He reminds us of our dignity, a dignity that's not based on right or wrong, on whether we're good or goody two-shoes or what have you, but a dignity that's based on the fact that God has called us into being. That God has called us to be His children. And He gives us a sense of our true vocation, our true calling. In his encyclical Faith and Reason, Pope St. John Paul II wrote, "God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth, and the Word to know Himself, so that by knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of truth about themselves." And that's a good thing, folks. Because a lot of times, you and I, we beat ourselves up, don't we? Or we let others beat us up. We don't realize our dignity and our true worth in the eyes of God. And so Zephaniah cries out, "Seek the Lord. Seek His righteousness. Seek humility." Christ calls us to follow Him because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the poor in spirit. He mourns over the sins of humanity, over our sickness, if you will. He is the peacemaker par excellence, and He is pure of heart. And He wants us to be like Himself. It is through Christ and His grace that we can now align our hearts with the love and the will of the Father. When we aim for the truth of things by loving God, we begin to see things as they really exist. When, however, we love something other than God and put that thing or that person in place of God, then we see the world, we see things, we see others through the filter of our pride, our vanity, our ego, our expedience. But God wants us to see each other truly as He sees us. By willing the true good, by seeking it with humility, we learn the truth, we discover God, we grow in hope, we grow in being merciful, and we begin to hunger and thirst for that justice and peace that only can come from God, and that we want others to share in as well. And that is always going to involve suffering, folks, because the world doesn't want that. But we need to struggle and we need to fight against that current with the grace of God, with the wisdom of Christ. And as that suffering will purify our vision, purify our hearts, so that we can finally see God and see Christ. Not in some future time when we're dead, but now. To see Christ now. He wants us to see Him now. Bishop Lopes, who was our keynote speaker at the convocation back in Advent, he said, you know, when some writers write that in the Transfiguration, it wasn't Christ that changed, but the apostles were able finally to see Christ as He truly is with the Father, in the glory of the Father. That's how Christ always is. And if you read the Gospels carefully, especially I think Luke and John, you begin to see how there is this gradual progression, you know, involvement of being able to see, being able to understand that this is truly the Messiah. This is truly Christ. They call Him Sir, they call Him Teacher, they call Him Rabbi, and then finally they call Him Lord. They recognized Christ at the breaking of the bread. So you see this development. So finally, the disciples are able to see the glory of God, the glory in Christ. St. Paul reminds us that the gospel is not human wisdom. It's not something that can be acquired by our human efforts. So we don't boast of ourselves. We boast in the Lord because it's God's gift to us. Paul will later write in Thessalonians, God has not called us to immorality, but to holiness. Hence, whoever rejects these instructions rejects not man, but God, who sends his Holy Spirit upon you. God has given us the gift of faith. You would not be here if you did not receive that gift. And he's given you the gift of your vocation. He offers it to all people freely. It's a free gift because we can never attain that holiness that he calls us to on our own. However, this is the fly in the ointment. I got to do something. I got to be willing to change. I got to be willing to respond to God's word, to the living tradition, the teachings of the church, and the word of God as I see it in the Bible. And how am I responding to that in my life? So it is a growth process, folks. It's not going to happen overnight. But we want to keep moving forward, if you will. And, you know, there's an old saying, I think it was in Florence, Italian saying, is two steps forward but four steps back. You know, and that's us, but he still stays with us. And we want to keep striving for that holiness that he calls us to. You know, the Beatitudes are a portrait of the face of Jesus. This is what God looks like. He's given us a picture of himself. But the beautiful thing about this is he's also calling us to live that out in our own lives. And if we can lure our voice, so to speak, so that we can hear the voice of Christ, hear his voice not only in our hearts, but in the poor, in the disadvantaged, the marginalized, the disabled. If we can bow our heads so that the head of Christ appears. If we can learn how to get out of the way with our ego so that the light of Christ can shine through. A little bit like John the Baptist. I must decrease, that Christ must increase. Then gradually, sisters and brothers, we begin to see Christ. I begin to see Christ in my brother and in my sister. Not only in others, but in myself. Then, true love is possible. The love of Christ is possible. And I begin to love others with that love. God love you. God bless you.